not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Well, I'm Stan Knight here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, as on every Friday, is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And the program we're going to be talking about this morning is vitally important, because what's going on in Libya today, I believe, foreshadows what is going to happen throughout the entire Islamic world. Why do I say that? Well, it's been very obvious for many years the CIA has been working to destabilize that area of the world, first with Turkey, turning from being pro-Western to joining the radical Islamic movement back in 2002 and really moving into the leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood in 2003, and then working to bring all of the various Kurdistan, Uzbekistan, and Turkmenistan, and all of those countries into the radical Islamic fold. And I fear very soon we're going to see a new world Islamic order, and that'll be certainly used as the foil for the coming war. I believe there's going to be a war in the Middle East. I believe we're creating the best enemy money could buy. I believe that money from the Bank of England and from the CIA and other sources is going and has already gone to topple Egypt. I mean, after all, somebody bought off the army so they'd go along with the revolution. They were very comfortable under Mubarak. Somebody just paid them additional money to get rid of Mubarak. Same thing happened in Tunisia. And who is financing the rebels in Libya? Well, that is the background of why Joel Skousen, please go ahead and give us your opinion on what's going on in Libya.
Well, the topic of today's World Affairs Brief is the U.S. is kept in the dark as Obama prepares for a larger war. You know, this week's artful speech by Obama conjured up every possible pretext and argument to both downplay and justify his latest intervention into another country's internal affairs. While pro-government pundits were quick to praise and critics were temporarily stunned by Obama's use of outright falsehoods and feigned words to assure the world that this was neither aggression nor a war, the facts on the ground are quickly proving that Obama lied about almost everything he said in the speech. While Obama assured the nation that no U.S. troops are or will be involved, the 2nd Marine Division has been given orders to ship out for Libya. So someone's obviously lying to us in a bold-faced way. First of all, in typical Obama style, let me be very clear. The president didn't write this speech. It's too carefully crafted and deceptive. It artfully weaves and dodges and panders and otherwise makes a mockery of the clarity and honesty he claims. Obama confuses dramatic one-liners, which he's noted for, when, you know, he calls that clarity when it's impossible to be clear when you're using lies to cover up ulterior motives. And that's my purpose, is to cover the ulterior motives here. Right out of the box, Obama's speechwriters start pitching globalism, just like George H.W. Bush did as a prelude to the first invasion of Iraq. Obama praised the international effort that would lead in Libya, when in fact this was hatched in the bowels of the dark side of the U.S. government over 3 years ago. And as we pointed out in last week's brief, this is not an international coalition. This is a coalition of nations twisting their arms to come along with the U.S. on something that they had planned before. The U.S., he says, has worked with our international partners to mobilize a broad coalition to secure an international mandate to protect civilians. Well, there is no legal structure for an international mandate. Mandate means it's required by law, which isn't true. The force of the UN has no force in law. And they're aiming, of course, through these kinds of interventions to change that. The coalition already has a conference scheduled in London to decide the fate of Libya. That happened this past Wednesday. Leaders of some 40 nations were to sit down and decide how Libya should be ruled and who should be selected as the preferred leaders of the opposition. That's what internationalism is all about. Committees running roughshod over national sovereignty and dictating the type of government for a nation and its limitations of actions, and we're against that. Of course, they give lip service to freedom, but only a socialist form of government is allowed under an international rule. That's what happened when the globalists announced the independence of Kosovo in 2008. It was and is still a sham. International watchdogs continue to exercise veto powers over everything the Kosovo parliament says. In other words, they're free as long as they do what is within the constraints of international control. Like all modern politicians, Obama panders to the troops and American patriotism, paying tribute to our men and women, he says, in uniform, who moved with incredible speed and strength. Well, the latter comment was meant to counter GOP or Republican neocons, whose only complaint about the attack was not that it was unconstitutional, but that it took Obama so long to get in and start this intervention. And we even have people like Mitt Romney and Sarah Palin, you know, getting on the warmongering bandwagon saying that, yes, he should be replaced. And they have criticisms around the borders of Obama's actions, but not about the core violation of sovereignty and the aggression that it represents. Then comes a litany of name-dropping and distorting the presumed success of past and current interventions. Obama says, leaving, we have left Iraq to its people. That's a lie. We still have 50,000 troops there, and there still is intervention. Stopping the Taliban's movement in Afghanistan, he says, they've done. We have to ask, at what cost? And there seems to be no end in sight. As James Petras wrote this week, what was trumpeted as a humanitarian intervention to liberate Afghan women and drive out the Taliban resulted in a human catastrophe for the Afghan people, killing over 400,000 people. So, you know, who are we saving? You know, how is this a humanitarian intervention? As for Al-Qaeda, that he mentions that we're one of his successes, we've got Al-Qaeda on the run. Well, Kurt Nimmo, writing for InfoWars, confirms what we've long held at the World Affairs Brief, that Al-Qaeda's presence in Iraq was engineered by the CIA and the Pentagon, the same as it was engineered in the Balkans and the Russian states bordering Afghanistan. It's a well-established fact that the CIA, with the assistance of the Pakistani ISI and Saudi Arabia, ran the Islamic warrior network of the Mujahideen, including its aggressive recruitment efforts. When Zbigniew Brzezinski was confronted in an interview with a French newspaper, Le Nouvel Observateur, in 1998, he admitted that it was all true, creating the Mujahideen would later morph into Al-Qaeda and the Taliban.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, I guess, this morning, Joel Skousen. We're talking about Al-Qaeda, the dreaded Al-Qaeda. As you know, of course, we're fighting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. We have almost a quarter of a million men there, and there are between 50 and 100 members of Al-Qaeda, according to a former National Security Advisor, General Jones, and Sidney Leon Panetta. In June of last year, while Leon Panetta admitted there were only probably 50 members of Al-Qaeda, maybe as members as many as 100 in Afghanistan, and we have almost a quarter of a million troops there fighting them. And now, of course, Al-Qaeda is supporting the rebels in Libya, and we're supporting the rebels in Libya. Why are we supporting the same rebels that Al-Qaeda is supporting? Is it possible that nothing, as it appears to be, that everything is simply illusion and delusion? You pick up the story, Joel.
Well, I'm going through Obama's speech, and the reason I'm doing so is because it's very important for people to understand the sophistication of the deception here, how he covers every argument and gives sleight of hand, very deceptive answers, and plays on people's emotions and plays on their... I mean, it's just a masterpiece of working with the psyche of people. Of course, it wasn't written by Obama himself. This is some very highly paid, sophisticated speechwriters. They cover the justification for intervention. He says, for generations, the United States of America has played a unique role as an anchor of global security and advocate of human freedom. You see, very typical how you put out the most positive things to, and then you're going to justify a naked aggression against something that isn't in your, in our right to do, because we have not been attacked. Obviously, the U.S. has become more an advocate for intervention, using humanitarian liberation merely as the pretext. Obama says we are naturally reluctant to use force to solve the world's many problems. I mean, this is perhaps the biggest lie of the speech. War is the first choice of Hegelian provocateurs for global conflict. I mean, it's not the reluctance at all. They look for opportunities. They plan for opportunities. They must have conflict in order to get the United States people railroaded into supporting globalism in all of its horrid forms. Then he correctly recites a list which includes the proper justifications for intervention. Quote, to defend our people, our homeland, our allies. And then adds the elastic condition and our core interest. Well, what do you mean by core interest? Where is that defined? The oil interest of the nation, the commerce of a nation, the globalist interest? That's what they're defending. They're not, they're inferring, because the listener says our core interest would be liberty and democracy and all that, but that's not what they're referring to. Those are merely pretexts. Since Obama cannot make a case for the proper justifications of war, he concentrates on the highly imprecise words, our interests. And who's to define what they are? But when our interests and values, which can be skewed to fit any agenda, are at stake, he says, we have to act. We have a responsibility to act. I mean, you could drive a truck through that in terms of justification. After reciting a worst-case description of Gaddafi's military attacks on the opposition, including killing civilians, he says, it was not in our national interest to let that happen. I refuse to let that happen. Well, he could have said that about all the killings of Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe, but he says nothing. Could have said that about all of the killings and the imprisonment of people in China who have been suppressed in their liberty, but he does not. Not one shred of explanation on how this was in our international interest, which is not a proper criteria, even if he could say something. National interest is so sloppy and expansive a concept as to offer no resistance at all, no restraint at all to government, any more than the state interest doctrine restricts state intervention in the lives of families at home. The Libyan people have been ruled by a tyrant, he says. Well, all of a sudden, Gaddafi's a monster. Then why wasn't he a monster before when he was being praised for his cooperation in the war on terror? In the end, Gaddafi is a petty tyrant compared to the West's own ruthless globalist leaders who falsify the pretenses for war, who sacrifice thousands of American lives in false flag terror attacks in order to justify the current war on terror. What is worse, or I might ask, what is worse, calling your opposition rats, that's, you know, one of the worst things that Gaddafi did, or stuffing three of the World Trade Centers with explosives and killing thousands of people, or provoking attack on Pearl Harbor, as Roosevelt did, and then not warning people that that attack was coming. Those are the real monsters of the world, the Stalins, the Lenins, the Roosevelts, and the George C. Marshalls who betrayed Chiang Kai-shek and the Chinese people to the communists. These are globalists. These are people who are mild-mannered, appearing people, urbane people who strut around and have their picture taken and shake hands with leaders of the world who, in fact, are people in league, I believe, with the Brotherhood of Darkness and ultimately Satan for helping overcome that which is good in the world. In recent years, the West has hardly treated Gaddafi as a tyrant. Obama, including other leaders, shook hands and had their pictures taken with Gaddafi at various summit meetings since 2009. And Obama has the audacity to bring up, of course, Gaddafi's litany of misdeeds. And that involves many things, including the issue of blaming the explosion of Pan Am 103 over Scotland on the Libyans. Of course, this was, in fact, a CIA operation to try to take down a rogue team of CIA agents who were coming back to the U.S. to blow the whistle on illegal activities the CIA was involved in the Middle East. They allowed a bomb had a bomb put on the airplane in Germany, and that's what exploded, and that's why the CIA surrounded that airplane, refused to let Scottish police even touch that aircraft until they had gone through all of the explosive rubble, pulled out every piece of evidence the CIA team that was on the plane had, and then they took it away. That's a major cover-up. Well, in return for Gaddafi's cooperation, he was promised to be allowed to come in Cold War terminology, and be accepted into Western trade circles. And that's exactly what happened. They took away European sanctions, or Reagan-era sanctions. Gaddafi was welcomed in European capitals. The Human Rights Commission of the UN gave Gaddafi a clean bill of health, and as recently as last year, Dr. Stan. And all of a sudden, he's the monster of the world? Well, of course he's a monster. But the world is full of monsters, and they've been monsters. The U.S. has, had a hands-off policy. The greatest monsters are China and North Korea, and we have a hands-off policy on them. So it's extremely hypocritical. So why is Gaddafi suddenly get knocked off his pedestal? Well, probably he's done nothing. He's simply an unsympathetic bad guy that makes an easy target when he's used up his usefulness for the globalist, and he's marked for a takedown. He's one of a list of people that can be used to engage in warlike activities that can justify globalist intervention. The reason
but,
for all
Joel,
this,
it almost appears as if there's a timetable, as if now is the time we're going to start toppling all of the Islamic countries over there. I mean, Egypt, Tunisia, we see the demonstrations in Algeria and Morocco and Jordan and Syria and Yemen, Bahrain, and almost as if somebody has given an order that all of these countries are to be toppled.
Yeah, I think you're right, Stan. And it's just like a wildfire spreading from one country to another, and I don't even think Saudi Arabia is going to survive this.
I don't think so either. I think they're going to establish this new Islamic world empire, one of the finest enemies, American and British tax money and block budgets could create. I believe this whole thing is being financed by our government and the British in preparation for a coming great war with the Islamic world, and heaven help us. But go right ahead.
Well, Obama continues saying, confronted with this brutal repression and looming humanitarian crisis, I ordered warships into the Mediterranean without any constitutional authority, I might add, since the U.S. wasn't under attack. Daniel Larrison correctly noted the conservative response has been weak and all over the map. As we reported last week, Obama did meet with select members of Congress. In the speech, Obama used this fact to help promote the argument that he didn't act alone. He said, 9 days ago, after consulting the bipartisan leadership of Congress, I authorized military action. Well, no one in Congress told the American people that they had been consulted. In other words, they were sworn to secrecy because obviously they didn't want anyone to know that this was going to be a surprise attack on Libya. Well, this secret meeting certainly does not satisfy the constitutional requirement that Congress have exclusive control over war powers. Obama isn't even pretending to satisfy the War Power Act, which placed time limits on when a president can go to war without a declaration of Congress. The Republican opposition was mostly posing questions and demanding details. None of the main leaders challenged the president's usurpation of power, nor was he even threatened with impeachment. Only Senator Rand Paul had the courage to say that Mr. Obama has ignored our Constitution and engaged in a military conflict without congressional debate or approval. Representative Brad Sherman, Democrat of California, asked Clinton about the War Powers Act during a classified briefing. Said Clinton and the administration did not intend to abide by these provisions, giving Congress the ability to put a 60-day time limit on military action. Apparently, the weak-kneed Republican leadership isn't even going to try to invoke the War Powers Act. Sherman noted that she, Clinton, said that they are willing to send reports to us in Congress if they issue a press release, and they'll send that to us, too. Well, how nice. I mean, talk about a weak-kneed opposition. Even Tea Party-aligned politicians did not take strong opposition to the war. There are large constituencies of Republicans that support any war, no matter how baseless. As Daniel Larrison noted, instead of being the perfect opportunity to stake out a principled, consistent critique of at least certain forms of internationalist wars, the divisions on the right make strong positions either way politically controversial and risky. At a moment when the country needs forthright criticism from conservatives against Obama's outrageous decision, we are likely to get a muddled and weakened response. And that's exactly true. Much of this conservative warmongering we hear on Fox News that causes many to align themselves with neocons is a result of the knee-jerk, old-line conservative habit of thinking that every anti-war sentiment is linked to leftists and liberals, but not anymore. In the 60s, conservatives might rightly have responded with outrage at liberal permissiveness when dealing with Russian and Chinese aggression in Vietnam and other Cold War conflicts. But now that the establishment is doing the warmongering and doing it to promote globalism, conservatives mistakenly get suckered into supporting these wars of occupation. It's a very sad thing how conservatives... It shows that we're dealing with a lot of our people saying they're just having knee-jerk, patriotic, flag-waving reactions rather than thinking through the issues clearly. And this can be taken advantage of by the globalists as they engage in these kinds of wars.
The American people have to understand that the real foreign policy of America is empire, control of the world, and now we are creating an Islamic enemy, because certainly the Islamic countries, when the dust settles and the election has been held in Egypt and Tunisia, why, the Muslim Brotherhood is going to be the dominant force over there. They're already acknowledging that there is no organized opposition to this radical form of Islam. And, of course, basically the American people don't understand. We are creating an organized enemy, and, of course, everything is being done in the Christian community to convince the Christians that the Muslims are the enemy. Everything's being done in the Muslim community to convince the Muslims that the Christians are the enemy. That's how you get a war going. That's what we did. The First World War had to get the American people to hate the Germans. Second World War, we had to hate the Germans and the Japanese. And now they're preparing us for another major war. And there are people going all through the Christian community telling us how terrible the Muslim religion is. I don't like the Muslim religion. We ought to be praying for the Muslims, not convincing Christians they should hate them. You go right ahead.
Well, I agree. I really don't like this, making this out to be a Christian versus Muslim war of culture and civilization. It is no such thing. These are all provoked wars. What's interesting about, the hatred of the Germans and the Japanese, there was a culture in the Japanese, for example, that allowed for extreme yesmanship to the emperor. A culture of non-thinking compliance with military orders, a very militaristic society, and there was a great deal of it. And that same thing happens in Muslim communities in Latin America.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen.
Now is the time to reserve your Passover tickets and join us for an awesome evening Monday, April the 18th at the Ramada Plaza, I-25 and 120th Avenue as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah Yeshua Jesus. Tickets are $30 for adults, $20 for 10 to 12-year-olds, $15 for 6 to 9-year-olds, and 5 and under are free. Deadline is Friday, April the 8th, no exceptions. Call 1-800-205-6245 for reservations or mail your check to Beth Messiah Congregation, care of Sharon, P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534. See you at Passover.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343. Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all test for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA, gift of the earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 Praise and Worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Back here, I guess, this morning, of course, is Joel Skousen. And Joel, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the World Affairs Brief and hopefully subscribe to it, and then tell our listeners a little bit about your books on certainly strategic relocation. And we do carry Joel's books. We think that they're outstanding. They're certainly some of our best sellers, but we're entering into very, very difficult times, and Joel has spent a great deal of time studying on how to create a safe room in your home, how to have a secure home, strategic relocation. You pick up that story, and then we'll get back to what's going on over there in Libya as we certainly plan for American intervention in that war. Go right ahead.
Well, I promote a dual strategy in life for people. I think we ought to fight to retain our liberties and to awaken people. That's why I put out the World Affairs Brief each week. Today comes another brief, and people can get a sample, pre-sample copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. But while we fight to retain our liberties, we have to realize we're up against a very powerful secret combination of power within our own government, and it affects other governments as well. There's no place to hide on the earth from these powerful forces that are destined to take away our liberties. So at the same time, while we're fighting to retain our liberties and awaken people, we have to make sure that we dedicate a portion of our efforts to preparedness, to be prepared for takedown, so that the wars that they will send upon us, and I think there's going to be a major third world war with a nuclear strike on America someday, and frankly, we have to be prepared for that. We have to be prepared to live another day. So one of my most important books is the new third edition of Strategic Relocation, which has just come out. This is an all-new update of the long best-selling book, Strategic Relocation, that I started in 1998 prior to Y2K. And it really helps people understand not only where the best and most and safest places are around the world as well as in North America, but it also talks extensively about strategies and contingency planning for those that cannot leave bigger cities because of jobs or family or other types of things, and how to provide contingency planning and preparation around that. Now, my biggest book, The Secure Home, 700 pages, it's as big as a telephone book, has everything from A to Z on how to make for a secure home and retreat, as well as full self-sufficiency with solar generators, wind power, and water power, and high-security construction, safe rooms, concealment, all of the things that are involved in preparing. One of the things I really believe strongly in is that rather than just simply fortifying a home, one needs to develop a strategy of concealment so that you can get out of the way of mobs or pillaging or even government that may come snooping to try to confiscate food supplies. So there's a tremendous amount of information in my books. The third one is how to implement a high security in the shelter in the home. That's a specific architectural plan book on how to do a safe room in an existing basement. And all three of these books are available from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Put a little plug for Radio Liberty. But, Joel, you go right ahead and pick up the rest of the story.
Well, you know, we have to ask, who are the Libyan opposition? The day after his speech, Obama signed a secret order authorizing covert support for the rebels. But now we find out that these rebels, in fact, have been killing civilians. They've been rounding up Gaddafi supporters and executing them. So here, as a humanitarian crisis, Obama has justified going into Libya and now offered authorized covert support, that is, arming the rebels, which is a violation of the UN ban on arms going into Libya, the very resolution. I mean, there's so many contradictions here. And even NATO, now this hasn't hit the press in the United States about this evil of the rebels killing other civilians, but it certainly has hit the press in Europe, and NATO is under pressure right now and calling upon the rebels to stop killing civilians, or we won't be able to continue supporting you. But the U.S. will continue to do that. I'm convinced that NATO will as well, regardless, and the killing is not going to stop. These people are just as ruthless as Gaddafi, and we have no business arming and supporting either side. Now, we really have to analyze, of course, who are these rebels, and I quote in this week's World Affairs Brief an extensive analysis by James Petras and Robin Eastman, who take apart, you know, who are these people, you know, in the armies around Benghazi, and they talk about these people are in fact just recently been henchmen with Gaddafi, and that they saw the handwriting on the wall. They probably were bought off by U.S. special forces when they came in and told them that invasion was imminent. They switched sides, and all of a sudden you have these people like Mustafa Abdul Jalil, a former justice minister who prosecuted dissenters from Gaddafi's government up to the very day before the armed uprising. Then he switches sides. Then you have Mahmoud Jebri, who was a prominent in inviting multinationals to take over the oil fields. And you have Gaddafi's former ambassador to India, who jumped ship as soon as it looked like the uprising was going to be succeeding. These self-appointed leaders of the rebels are now staunchly supporting the EU-European military intervention. They were, as I said, longtime supporters of Gaddafi's dictatorship, and these are the people we're supporting. The heads of the rebel council are Omar Hariri and General Abdul Fatah Yunis, former head of the Minister of Interior. That's the secret police. Both men have long histories of repressing democratic movements within Libya, and that's who we're supporting. We're just trading, you know, Tweedledee for Tweedledum. The anti-Gaddafi forces lack any democratic credentials whatsoever, and mass support is evident in their reliance on foreign imperial forces to bring them to power. Their abuse and persecution of immigrant workers from Asia, Turkey, and especially sub-Saharan Africa, as well as black Libyan citizens, is well documented in the international press. Their brutal treatment of black Libyans, falsely accused of being Gaddafi's mercenaries, includes torture, mutilation, and horrific executions. This does not augur well for the advent of a new democratic order, nor the revival of an economy, which was dependent on oil giving everyone the highest salaries in Africa and immigrant labor. There were over 300,000 Chinese workers in there, which had to be evacuated by China when all of this started. I mean, it's been a magnet for workers, and that's why there's so many refugees fleeing the country, because this was, you know, a migrant worker nation. The self-declared leadership of the National Transitional Council is not democratic either. It's not nationalist or even capable of uniting the country. These are not credible leaders capable of restoring economic prosperity. They're exiles, they're tribalists, they're monarchists, they're Islamists, maintaining the paternalistic, you know, social welfare system employed by Gaddafi. As for the links to Al-Qaeda, Abdul Hakim al-Assadi, the Libyan rebel leader, has said jihadists who fought against Allied troops in Iraq are on the front lines of the battle against Muammar Gaddafi's regime, and those are the ones being funded by the U.S., the very ones that were in Iraq fighting against our troops. The Libyan National Council, the Benghazi-based group that speaks for rebel fighting forces in the Gaddafi regime, has appointed a longtime CIA collaborator to head its military operations. This is a guy.
Hold up, Bob, Joe. Hold up, Bob. We'll be back in just a moment.
Now is the time to reserve your Passover tickets and join us for an awesome evening Monday, April the 18th at the Ramada Plaza, I-25 and 120th Avenue, as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah Yeshua Jesus. Tickets are $30 for adults, $20 for 10 to 12-year-olds, $15 for 6 to 9-year-olds, and 5 and under are free. Deadline is Friday, April the 8th, no exceptions. Call 1-800-205-6245 for reservations, or mail your check to Beth Messiah Congregation, care of Sharon, P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534. See you at Passover.
This is Danny Golden inviting you to join me and Ron Douglas, organizer of Denver's Self-Reliance Expo on April 8th and 9th. Attend hourly presentations and workshops like protecting your family during economic downturns, first aid, food competitions, and more. With over 100 exhibitors, there's something for everyone. Be a well-equipped, self-reliant household. Receive a $2 discount on admission by purchasing your tickets online at selfrelianceexpo.com. That's selfrelianceexpo.com. Show up at the door for your tickets and tell them KHNC sent you.
Tres Margaritas in Greeley reminds listeners, from the early days of our country through two world wars and countless smaller conflicts, our armed forces have stood tall. In this current time of conflict, let's support our troops and their families. Let's honor them and veterans of past battles for all their sacrifices in defense of our great nation. This tribute by Tres Margaritas, 2319 18th Avenue in Greeley. Call 378-6662. Proud to salute all the past and present members of our military service.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here for the last segment. Go right ahead, Dr. Joel. Joel?
Are you there? Yes.
Yes, go right ahead.
We're talking about the Libyan National Council, who just appointed as their military leader a longtime CIA collaborator. This man, Khalifa Hifter, he's a former colonel in the Libyan Army, and he hasn't lived in Libya for 20 years. He's been in the United States on a suburban property in Virginia, and he's very much suspected of having, been on the pay of the CIA. He's never had a job that anyone knows about, and yet he supports a very large family there in Virginia with a source of income that nobody knows about. This is typical of the way that the U.S. brings people in. Now, remember, this was a defector from the Gaddafi regime. So how do you get to the United States in the early 1990s when Gaddafi and his whole government was considered pro-communist and pro-Russia? And you bring somebody in and you plant them down in a suburb in Virginia and give them a big salary? To those who could read between the lines, this profile is a thinly disguised indication of Hifter's role as a CIA operative. Been trained for many years to go in and get the opposition started. How else does a high-ranking Libyan military commander enter the U.S. in the 1990s, only a few years after the Lockerbie bombing, and then settle near the U.S. Capitol in a very expensive house? The agency is very familiar with Hifter's military and political work. The Washington Post report of 1996 described an armed rebellion against Gaddafi in Libya and uses a variant spelling of his name as somebody who was involved. And then there's this London conference. The National Conference for the Libyan Opposition was figured prominently in the conference last Wednesday, where you had all these representatives trying to carve up Libya and determine its fate. These umbrella organizations are secretly financed by British covert funding. Last year, we covered the testimony of Lord James in the House of Commons or House of Lords, where he admitted to laundering over a million or a billion pounds for the IRA. He also said there was a secret operation to fund terrorists in North Africa, which he couldn't talk about because it was ongoing. I'll bet those were funds going to stir up the revolts in Egypt, Tunisia, and Libya. With all the funding, it was natural that the NCLO was instrumental in organizing the Day of Rage in Libya, which started it all. You know, people in a repressive society like Gaddafi's Libya, don't just go out on the street and start protesting. They have to be organized. And that organization takes money. It takes assurances from the CIA that they're backing them. It takes buying off people within the Gaddafi regime, police that they won't crack down on these people. And, of course, when they do crack down, because they don't control everyone, then it gives them an excuse to raise up international pressure. The NCLO is staffed by expatriate Libyan figures in London. There are half a dozen other opposition groups, and they are all competing for power after Gaddafi leaves. The one leader or group that rises to the top, you can be assured, will undoubtedly be a puppet for the powers that be that are financing this war. Well, Obama's big lie is that there are no troops involved. I said that America's role would be limited and we would not put ground troops into Libya. Now, this is a lie. The president is fudging because he isn't counting special forces as troops. Stratford.com said U.S. Special Forces have been in Iraq during the past 2 weeks. The New York Times added that although President Obama has guaranteed no ground war involvement of U.S. troops in Libya, the CIA is in country and has been since November of 2010. Now, that was even before the riots began, so they were out there instigating and directing these things. But it isn't even true about no troops. The day after Obama's speech, Marines at Camp Lejeune got embarkation orders to Libya. If there are no troops to be involved, why is the 2nd Division going to Libya? You can bet the U.S. intends to justify an invasion force later on, now that Gaddafi is mounting a serious counteroffensive. You just simply can't beat a military force like Gaddafi, by air power alone. Because once they get into the cities and start shooting up at people to use air power, you got to kill innocent civilians. Well, that hasn't stopped the U.S. before, but they probably couldn't get away with that very long here with all their pretensions about humanitarian safety. The U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Susan Rice, says that the Obama administration has not ruled out military support for the Libyan rebels, and we already know that that's ongoing. It's not authorized by the U.N. resolution. Obama's also lying about NATO control of the operation. The U.S. is still in control of overall command, surveillance, intelligence, and special operations. French and British jets are there for window dressing. They do have a NATO representative who's fronting as the commander of this thing, but I'm sure he is on the telephone all the time with U.S. commanders about what should I do next. That's a puppet relationship. President Obama even tried to sell the people that the invasion would save us money because of NATO. Because of this transition to a broader NATO-based coalition, he says, the risk and the cost of this operation is reduced significantly. Well, when has that ever been true? And by what standard of measurement? Certainly not by comparison to non-intervention. It's not cheaper than non-intervention. This is not to say that our work is complete, he says, meaning that this is going to be ongoing. I point out that the name of this movement or operation is called Odyssey Dawn. Odyssey. Odyssey is a long journey, Dr. Stan. I think they're trying to tell us something, that this is the dawn of a long journey, a push into Africa to continue to exacerbate what I think will lead to a major Middle East war. Any comments, Stan?
Yes, I'm really appreciate so much your thoughts on this. I agree with everything you've said. I think we're going to certainly topple that government, and when it's taken over, it'll be taken over by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, Syria is next, I predict, on the front for the moment. Obama is playing as if he's supporting President Assad, but neoconservative hawks are running the globalist show, so we can expect Obama to betray that superficial support as soon as there's enough humanitarian crisis. I'm convinced Obama and Hillary Clinton and the other people in the State Department are running around to the other Arab nations like Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and Syria and telling them, now the U.S. supports you. We won't allow this to overthrow you guys, and so we need your help, like Saudi Arabia sending troops into Bahrain. But when Bahrain falls and Yemen falls and Syria falls, pretty soon it'll be Saudi Arabia and Jordan. I think it's a matter of time, and there's more than one way to skin a cat. I think the U.S. decided against direct attack on Iran when they can ignite a fire throughout the whole Middle East.
Thanks so much, Joe. We'll talk to you again next week. God bless. Bye-bye.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality product available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold than silver.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are living in the most dangerous period of your life. Certainly all of the governments in the Near East and the Middle East are going to be replaced. We've already seen Turkey and Lebanon, the governments replaced, moved into the radical Islamic field. This will follow even the elections are held in Egypt and in Tunisia and in Libya. But nation after nation is going to be shifted to this radical Islamic camp as we, and I'm talking about the United States and British intelligence agencies, create the new Islamic world empire. The finest enemy money could buy in preparation for the coming war. We see Sunni Agenda 21 being implemented in Japan as a result of this tragic situation. We don't know whether the earthquake and the tsunami were an act of God or an act of man, because it's all classified. We can't let the American people know. But we do know that certainly this whole so-called meltdown over there has been totally mismanaged. I mean, what are they doing? How are they cooling the nuclear cores, why they're dropping water from helicopters. They have hoses getting the water in. You mean to tell me that in a highly sophisticated country, the only way to fuel the nuclear cores is dropping water from helicopters and squirting it with fire hoses? Come on now, I may be gullible, but I'm not that gullible. What's the outcome? Why Agenda 21? We're going to have to start turning off the electric lights over there in Japan. We're going to have to start cutting back on production. We're going to have to lower the living standards of the Japanese people. And it's all part of the Agenda 21. If you haven't read it, you need to get it from Radio Liberty or from Sania elsewhere if you can. But we do have Agenda 21. And, of course, we're doing the same thing here. We're already beginning to lower the living standards of Americans. We're going to bring austerity to Americans. Americans are going to be poorer. We're going to destroy the value of their life savings through inflation. We're going to raise the price of gasoline so you're not going to be able to utilize your car. But then, of course, you'll be happy to use public transportation. And then we're going to begin to see the progressive a deterioration of this wonderful utopian society we've seen. And ladies and gentlemen, it's all planned. All you need to do is read Agenda 21, read the Global Biodiversity Assessment, and you can get a summary in my Sustainable Development Syllabus, and read the Earth Charter as they talk about the equitable distribution of wealth among nations. That's what it's all about. Lower the living standards here, raise them over in China. And if you don't believe that's what they're doing, read David Rockefeller's memoirs, page 405. That's 405, where he brags about that. You can get his memoirs from Radio Liberty, my Sustainable Development Syllabus, and my talk on Sustainable Development, the Road to World Government, because it's all about bringing about this world government under this ruling elite. And, of course, we're moving towards a war with the Islamic world. If you are a Christian, note how There's an organized effort among the Christians to condition us about how terrible the Islamic faith is and what a threat they are to us, just as they're doing the same thing in the Islamic world to get the people ready for the war with America. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until Monday. May the Lord be with you.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamins.